Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Ed Kilgore, the principal writer for the Washington Monthly's Political Animal blog. He's also the managing editor of The Democratic Strategist, an online forum, and a senior fellow at the Progressive Policy Institute. He was formerly vice president for policy and democratic leadership at the Democratic Leadership Council, communications director for U.S. Senator Sam Nunn, and a federal state relations staffer for three governors of Georgia. Welcome to Background Briefing, Ed Kilgore.
Thank you, Ian.
And how much do you see this race in Virginia, which has been characterized by some pretty bitter television attacks between Democratic candidate Terry McAuliffe and Republican State Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli?
Well, I mean, you know, we're not. It appears Terry McAuliffe has won, which most people had predicted. Though, you know, the late exit polls haven't really been released. But, you know, it's a pretty big deal insofar as 1973 was the last time that a candidate for governor of Virginia belonging to the party that controlled the White House won a gubernatorial election. So it's a real precedent-shattering sort of event. And it, you know, from every indication, at a time when off-year election demographics really, really advantage Republican candidates, it's pretty remarkable that Republicans lost Virginia, a purple state, in this off-year.
Well, apparently it has a lot to do with Northern Virginia, which is close to Washington, D.C., where there are lots of federal contractors and an awful lot of federal employees who were recently furloughed by the activities of the Tea Party caucus in the Republican Party, who shut down the government and threatened to tank the economy. I can't imagine that that's not a factor.
Well, sure, it's a factor. In addition, the Hampton Roads area of Virginia around Norfolk and Newport News is heavily dependent on defense spending and defense contractors, and that's an area that's been trending Republican in the last few elections. So there's no question Ken Cuccinelli was hurt by his allies in Congress. And he hurt himself quite a bit with egregiously extremist social issues positions that are really out of line with any recent winner in a Virginia statewide election.
So with McAuliffe, who's apparently a close friend of former President Bill Clinton, he appears with the president and the vice president, Joe Biden, while the Virginia governor, the outgoing governor, did not show up in support of Cuccinelli, his attorney general, and Cuccinelli instead had to rely on Senators Rand Paul and Marco Rubio. So to that extent, this thing could appear to be a referendum on the Tea Party.
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, Cuccinelli decided in the last week of the campaign that his only hope of winning was to mobilize the conservative base of his party. And so he brought in every extremist candidate he possibly could to help energize the base. And, you know, it appears it didn't work. And, you know, it's true that the old Republican establishment in Virginia, that Bob McDonnell and Lieutenant Governor Bill Bowling, who was slated to be the Republican nominee until Cuccinelli squeezed him out, didn't do a whole lot to help their candidate. And that, to that extent, it's pretty obvious that the rightward trend in the Republican Party was repudiated to a significant extent in Virginia tonight.
Again, I'm speaking with Ed Kilgore, the principal writer for the Washington Monthly's Political Animal blog. He's also the managing editor of the Democratic Strategist, an online forum, and a senior fellow at the Progressive Policy Institute. He was formerly vice president for policy at the Democratic Leadership Council, communications director for U.S. Senator Sam Nunn, and a federal state relations staffer for three governors of Georgia. So did these ethical violations or transgressions, I guess, of the outgoing governor for taking gifts from an influential Virginia businessman, Johnny Williams, which apparently Williams apparently gave $18,000 in unreported gifts to Cuccinelli as well. Was that a big deal? I mean, you think it's more about this guy was not out of the Republican establishment and he was more of a Tea Party guy, or was there some trickle-down taint from the governor's gift-taking scandal?
Well, it certainly tainted the idea that Republicans were some sort of reformers cleaning up Richmond after years of Democratic control. But having said that, McConnell's unfavorable ratings in the last poll I saw were better than Cuccinelli's, and actually probably better than Terry McAuliffe's. So I'm not sure that that was a huge factor. And again, I don't want to disrespect Terry McAuliffe, but it's pretty remarkable that he's the guy that was able to win, to break the long tradition of, the party that did not control the White House winning the Virginia governorship. I mean, just 4 years ago, Terry McAuliffe ran for governor and couldn't even win the Democratic nomination. And now he's about to become, it appears, governor of Virginia, in a year that's not supposed to be that great for Democrats. So, it's pretty remarkable development overall.
So he, in 2009, McAuliffe was defeated in the primary. But the main challenge from Craig Deeds was that he portrayed McAuliffe as a carpetbagger who was just in there using the state for his own political ambitions. Did that also dog him in this race? Because he's not a resident of Virginia. I mean, he's not a recent resident, not a long-term resident of Virginia, right?
No, and Republicans certainly tried to use the same message against him this time around, but it wasn't nearly as decisive. I think you have to view this. Terry McAuliffe ran a good campaign, used a lot of effective surrogates, was obviously very well funded. But you have to figure that this election was mainly, an unforced error by Virginia Republicans who had everything imaginable, helping them going into this election.
Well, I think their fundraising advantage was pretty significant, though, wasn't it? McAuliffe, of course, being a famous Democratic fundraiser.
Yeah, he did extraordinarily well in fundraising and in campaign advertising. But again, in a state like Virginia, closely divided, the impact of campaign spending and advertising is somewhat limited. But clearly, McAuliffe and people allied to him did an extraordinary job in maximizing his advantage in Northern Virginia, the Washington media market, in ways that I'm not sure that anything Ken Cuccinelli could have possibly overcome. I think when we see the final results, we'll see that Cuccinelli didn't do that badly in Southwest Virginia, in Central Virginia, even in Tidewater, Virginia, but he just got killed in Northern Virginia, where number one, Terry McAuliffe is not that exotic a character, and number two, the government shutdown and Cuccinelli's extremism were just, you know, killer issues for him.
But in terms of the money race, McAuliffe raised about $34 million to Cuccinelli's $20 million, and about 70% of the money raised came from outside the state, which is by far the highest percentage for any U.S. gubernatorial race in history, according to the nonpartisan National Institute for Money in State Politics. So that is...
I happen to think an extraordinarily high percentage in, you know, campaign ads in general elections is wasted money, and some of those ads were people that wanted to identify with a candidate they thought was going to win anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it doesn't hurt to have a big financial advantage in a general election, but I don't think that's really why Terry McAuliffe's winning tonight.
So, Ed Kilgore, let's turn to the big question, and we forgot to mention the New Jersey race, of course, which is pretty much a slam dunk for Governor Chris Christie, and he's already being touted as the great hope for the Republican Party because he's popular in a Democratic state, but of course he has the problem of getting through the Republican primary, which is dominated by Tea Party and the more religious conservatives. So we'll see that one play out in the next few years, I'm sure. We'll get a lot of that for sure, and we don't need to visit it quite so soon. But just in the broader sense, though, does a Democratic pickup of a Republican governorship, does it have both political and psychological value for the 2014 race? Because the winds seem to have changed a little bit. For a while there, after the unpopular Republican shutdown of the government, it looked as if the Democrats had the wind at their back, and then now the wind seems to be shifting a bit due to the troubles the White House has had over launching the Affordable Care Act.
Well, it's a long way till 2014, much less 2016. And I do think that, there's a tendency in Washington to overrate state elections as referenda on national issues. You know, I'm sure they played a part in both Virginia and to some extent New Jersey, but not that much. So it's an extraordinarily valuable precedent for Democrats to be able to break this long winning streak of the out party in Virginia gubernatorial elections. But there's going to be a lot of hype about Chris Christie as being the one Republican presidential possibility in 2016 that could beat Hillary Clinton or other Democratic candidates. But, what's really important is that this was an off-year election with an extraordinarily pro-Republican electorate. Republicans tend to vote by very large margins disproportionately in off-year and special elections. So the fact that Democrats were able to win in a purple state like Virginia in a competitive race, again, defying all electoral history, is a reasonably big deal. But, we won't really know how important it was until next year.
Well, just in closing, Ed Kilgore, what's your prognosis on whether or not this nobody knows how quickly healthcare.gov, the website's going to be fixed.
Yeah.
But it feels to me like a bleeding wound, and the sooner that Obama is able to turn this thing around, because the Affordable Care Act really depends upon people liking it, and they were prepared to like it. And now the propaganda is so overwhelmingly against it, based upon the glitches. So. And if the young people don't sign up, the bigger the pool, the lower the prices. And, you know, the whole point is that they've never sold this thing very well, and now it's being battered to death.
Well, you know, you raise a lot of complicated issues. It was predictable, no matter how many glitches there were, that people that desperately needed health insurance would sign up early. And younger, healthier people that didn't need it so much would sign up late. That could still happen. And, you know, I really think we need to, you know, wait until about the middle of next year to know how the whole Obamacare rollout and implementation issue is going to affect future elections. It may fail. It may succeed. It's probably going to be somewhere in between. But the, you know, day-to-day hysteria over this group of people losing insurance policies that they should have known they were probably going to be canceled, and that group of people not signing up yet is a bit over presumptive. Let's look at it again in July and see how the whole thing washes out. Before making any electoral predictions, because I'll remind you that, again, even all the recent negative polling data about Obamacare indicates that a majority of people either support the law, want to make it more expansive, or want to give it a chance.
Well, Ed Kilgour, I thank you so much. I appreciate you joining us, and I thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Ed Kilgour, the principal writer for the Washington Monthly's Political Animal blog. He's also the managing editor of The Democratic Strategist, an online forum, and a senior fellow at the Progressive Policy Institute. He was formerly vice president for policy at the Democratic Leadership Council, communications director for U.S. Senator Sam Nunn, and a federal state relations staffer for three governors of Georgia. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about whether or not peace is coming to the Congo after 6 million have died.